Good morning. How are you? Good. It's a privilege to be here this morning with you, and it's a blessing to get to know you. I've heard lots of good things about you. I just had a scripture on my heart this morning just to share with you, and that's Psalm 1, 1 to 3. And no doubt you're aware of this. But it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And just on my heart this morning for you was just the thought that that Jesus is not limited to seasons. He's not limited to seasons, and that you're a church that can bear fruit in any season. And that I just see that, you know, that you're not limited to seasons as a church, and that God is causing fruitfulness to come out of you in any season that you are in. And I just want to encourage you in that, and that and because you also, let me just say this, embrace the prophetic. There's actually a special grace in that area, because a lot of people take what they want from Jesus. They just take portions of Jesus. But I just see here, you want all of Jesus. You know, you want the whole of Jesus here, you know. And I just want to encourage you that I see that, and that God sees that, and that there's a special portion and a special blessing that comes upon those that are able to embrace the prophetic. You know, and the Bible says that you receive the blessing of the prophetic. And, you know, Jesus was prophetic. And I just want to say, because you embrace him in fullness, that there is a full blessing upon your lives. And just to be expecting for the full blessing, because he wants to bring a full blessing in every season that you are in. And there's a desire to receive blessing. And I believe there's a blessing in every season, and that there's an expectancy and an openness to receive the full blessing of Jesus in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't she great? So it was really great to be with you. You're Michelle and Martin are great friends of ours, and so exciting to hear what's happening in your world. And the Lord really spoke to me, and you know, normally in these sort of situations, you would bring your best message. You know, some of that you've honed and you've skilled and you've sharpened and you've practiced, you know, all the jokes even you've practiced. But this morning I actually have something for you hot off the press. Like, this is manna for you this morning. I really believe I have an assignment here this morning to prophetically declare something over you whole, all of you guys, whether even if you're in Kenya or if you're here or not here, if you're part of Elam, this is a word for you. Oh, don't get too excited on me. Hey, okay, so... And it's very exciting for me because about 8 weeks ago, Susie and I moved out from our church, Encounter Life. We merged with Impact. And now Susie and I, it was a whole series of events, but God has started to lead us now to minister into churches, particularly minister to pastors. So now I've kind of moved into this role of like being a pastor to pastors now. So it's very exciting to see that. But then having a real prophetic voice and edge into, you know, I would say, strategic churches, churches that aren't just local. And I really think that part of what I'm about to share with you this morning, you're going to get an idea of the identity that God has really given Elam, or the assignment that God has given you. Is that cool? Well, yeah, this is a Pentecostal church, isn't it? I'm not, you know, amen, that's good, you know. Amen, far out, that's good. All right. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. We're going to start from verse 15. Great to hear all those testimonies of what God's doing. Hey, that's really fantastic what you're doing as a church in the community. You'll get really excited when from my perspective, because I know what the message is. And I've been hearing the testimonies this morning of what's been happening. So all I've got is the amen to that, or God is saying amen already to me of what's about to happen, okay? So I want you to put your hand over your heart, and I want you to say this prayer with me. Is that cool? I want you to do this with me. Say, "Speak to my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just read this. In Genesis chapter 22 and starting from verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand on which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men and arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I want to pick out some key things about this verse. Okay, I want to just drop into some things. I've got like few points or thoughts or declarations or prophetic words to have over you all. Although God's been speaking to me about some individuals during worship, but I really want to just hone in on this. Is this cool? Because you know, let me tell you something. Your church is actually about influence. It's actually about influence. Size doesn't matter. Budgets, turnover of people or money or whatever or buildings or everything. You must understand, in the kingdom, it's actually about your influence. It's not about your bank account. It's about who you're influencing, who you're changing, who you're moving, who you're having a voice to. Are you hearing me? When you think Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel, when he served, I think, four kings. And was the key man to each one of those four kings. One man having influence with the most powerful person on the planet. When you think of how, it's just amazing to realize the sort of influence. When you think of some of the churches even that now, and you start to see it now because we actually live in a global village, because now you can get on your, like that, you can ring your husband and he's in Kenya to find out what's going on. You wives can find us no matter where we go. We can never find you, by the way. But isn't that amazing? And that now, you can see even now that like churches that are like if, and we all know the fact, Bethel. Bethel is in a town. If people have gone, I've never been there. I have friends, ministry. I've got ministry coming to visit. I've ministered to their team. That's funny, isn't it? But do you think that the community where that church is no bigger than Wyong? It's not a hub. It's like everybody just drives through it on their way to Seattle. It's nowhere. And yet that church of only, and if they get a shock kind of when they go other places, because they only have a church of about 2,000 people. Now, when you realize that, on the scale of America, it's not that impressive, you see. That's the funny part about it. But their global influence is amazing, isn't it? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Their influence globally is amazing. I believe that's what you're in for. That God has called you here, but he's actually called you not just to have this as a base, because God has called. Look, and I arrive and there's the flags of all the countries around the place. Okay, that's very encouraging for me. Let me see. The first point is this. Let me say this. See, you can't outdo God. When you put this scripture in context, is this the first time that God speaks to Abraham? The first time he speaks to him in this chapter is to stop Abraham from killing his son. The beginning of the story is that what Abraham has asked him to sacrifice his only son, and they go up the hill, and we all know the story, and the ram's caught in the thickets, and it all works out in the end. But because Abraham was willing to do that, you must understand, it literally forced God to have to do that. Because a man was willing to lay down his son, God could not be outdone. Are you hearing you? See, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you're willing to lay down, God can't be outdone. I'm not saying he can be manipulated, but I'm saying it's just that he's great and he's greater than us, bigger than us, more powerful than us, more committed than us. And as soon as we start to say, we show a level of commitment, guess what? He actually has to go further. The Bible says that what he can outdo whatever you can imagine. He can give you more than you can ask. Is that what the Bible says? That's what it says. So he can outdo whatever you do. Whatever you do in ministry, whatever you believe for, whatever you're stretching for, he can outdo that. So I want to say, you know, do some big things. And you are doing big things. And because you're doing big things, guess what God has to do? Oh, now you're getting it. So you're getting it now. So you've got to understand that your influence is far greater than this building or this city. Actually, oh, I need to drop. Let's just go to the second one. So the number one is that God can't be outdone because of what you've done. Okay. Because you understand, see, in James chapter 2 and verses 20, it says, "But don't you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" If you know, it doesn't matter. You know what? Your behavior will always prove what you believe. Not your mouth. Man, I was sharing with someone. Like, I've been doing church for over 50 years. I've heard a lot of stuff. But show me what you say and then I'll listen to you. Come on. You want to see what you believe? Look at what you do. You believe in evangelism? We all put up a hand. Yes, but do you witness? You believe in mission? Are you hearing me? We believe. You believe in the miraculous? Do you lay hands on the sick? It's not. That's actually what you believe. You believe in giving? Do you give? Believe in generosity? Are you hearing me? You know, you can say, I know Christians that know all the stuff, know the book, but don't do any of it. The Bible that you believe is the Bible that you do. Amen. We've got someone on board finally. Amen. Okay, here we go. He's not going to withhold. The second part, if you look at that, and I've kind of, if you go through it, see, because you've done this, I will not, because you've what? You have not withheld. You just think of how many times we just hold back from stepping into what God has done. The Bible says that in the same measure that you give, God gives. You know, because you've done this, and this is what it says, because you don't withhold. Let me tell you this. This is what you don't withhold. You don't withhold your senior pastor. You don't withhold him. We sat together, and it was kind of funny. I said, like Martin, it's like, because he was like envious. Oh, Martin, it's funny you can do what you do. And I had to say to him, no, that's not what you're not called to do what I'm doing. You're called to do what you're doing. But you know what? And we started to talk. And I said, maybe your church doesn't understand how it works. Let's see, if you actually have, if you have an apostolic leader, you have to actually let them be apostolic, which means you have to send them, and we'll unpack that. But let me tell you something. If you don't withhold, you know, and your pastor's a very good guy, you want to be really thankful you don't have never had me. And some of you have, and that's probably why you're here. He's lovely. He's sweet. You know, he's got a beautiful wife like I had. My big thing was you got Susie. If you get Martin, you get one of the Spice Girls. That's really cool. Which one are you? I don't know. Oh, that's rude. Who said that? It's terrible. But, you know, he's got a great heart. Isn't your pastor amazing? He's godly. He's faithful. He's full of faith. He can preach. He's prayerful. He's holy. He's got, you know, a very devoted life of prayer and really wanting to see people get saved. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like you, because if you don't withhold him and withhold the vision of the house, guess what? Increase. You've got to get this. You really need to get this in your belief system, in the identity of this house. Are you hearing me? You're meant to be a sending place. And part of that actually is, you know, in so many places, you know, and it works sometimes like the church in Antioch, you would send others and there would be the apostolic leader stays at home. It sometimes works like that, but you've got to figure out how your apostolic anointing works. Don't overwhelm me with all your amens, hey. You've got to understand what God has called you to do. One of the biggest things that, you know, there are two things that push us, drive us, is what we believe and who we are, our identity. Once you find out who you are, it's very easy to discover what you're meant to do. Come on. Are you called to evangelism? See, some churches are told to, you know, some like, we'll name, okay, hey, I'm from the coast. I've been on the coast all my life and I know the who's who. You look at House of Praise down the corner, the community, oh my goodness me. Is that true? Do they, the hamper things and the outreach in the community like no one else, true? That's what they're called to do. And man, we've never tried it. We, like Susie buys hampers from them. Why would you ever want to do that when they do it, when they're called to do that? I reckon if Pastor Sandra ran for the mayor, she'd get it. She would, wouldn't she? True, because that's what they're called to do. And that's what we all need to do, is celebrate that, get on board with them and help them do that. Is that true? But what you're called to do is completely different. It's the same as my, like our pastor there, we're working under Ian Zerner. It's buildings. And even now he's, because of us and some different things that have shifted around, now he goes, and if you're struggling to buy a building, he can go to a church. And I've heard this many, many times. It's been the testimony of many senior pastors have said to me, oh, we were stuck. We didn't know how to buy a building. We didn't know what to do. We found a building. We didn't know how to raise the money. And they were completely bogged. But I just sat with Pastor Ian, and he's like, man, he's got the sexiest, deepest voice you've ever heard. He just sits there and talks to you. And he goes, well, you know, is it God? I can't do it. But, you know, is it God? What's God saying in your heart? And he doesn't say anything what you would think was profound, anything super spiritual, anything like that. But these pastors, and I've had four as if they'd all spoke to one another, said exactly the same thing. As I sat there and spoke with them, we shared together, faith entered my heart to do it. Supernatural. Supernatural. And these pastors and their teams have been able to raise millions of dollars, buy buildings or build buildings that they thought was impossible for. Because that's what he's called to do. See, if you withhold that, what God has for you as an assignment, as a church, you'll miss out on what God has for you. Are you hearing me? You're not in trouble. I'm trying to encourage you to see what's actually, okay, just tap the person and say, he's not angry at you. He's actually encouraging you to do what God's called you to do. So don't withhold. See, in Proverbs 11, verse 24, in the Message version, I love this. It says this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Oh, okay. You're in for a bigger world. As individuals, and as a church, your influence is only going to grow. Your sphere is only going to grow. Now, for some of you go, what does that mean? It doesn't matter. God knows. But guess what? You're going to have a big, full life. Isn't that good to know? You want to be able to, you know, you don't want to be taking your last breath. You don't want to have all your, and have regret. You want to have emptied out the tank. You want to be like Paul and say, man, I've run. Before he even got called home, already knew that he'd run his race. He'd be able to tick all the boxes. Man, I did everything I was meant to do. I spoke to everybody. I planted everything. I preached everything I meant to preach. I got all the revelation. Hey, Bianca. And everything that I needed to do, I did. Amen? It's all right. I got ADD. It's okay. See, what God wants, you see, it says this, with blessings, I want to bless you. With blessings. See, what is, how, what is being blessed to you? What's that? Each one of you, it's different. For each one of you, you have a different need or a different desire or what flicks your switch. For some of you, it's got you've got the revelation that it's motorcycles. For some of you, it's just to have a healthy family. For some of you, it's to have great relationships. For some of you, blessing is different. Is that true? To be blessed or the blessing that you need right now. But this is, now let me tell you something. What God wants to give you is blessing over and above miracles. Because if you have miracles, you got to have crisis. If you want a lifestyle of miracles, amen, go for it. But you've also got to have a lifestyle of crisis. You got to have problems in order to have miracles. Is that true? But blessing is completely different. Blessing is favor. Blessing is, if you like, the empowering presence of Jesus in your life, the grace of God over you. So you're actually overcoming things and you don't even know you're overcoming them. See, when you're blessed, things work out. Is that true? That's basically, it actually means, if like in that psalm that Susie read to you this morning, blessed, which isn't that amazing? The first part of that verse is blessed, and that blessing means overwhelmingly joyful. Overwhelmingly joyful. You're just enjoying yourself. You're having fun. Even in bad times, you're still blessed. See, because if you're blessed, you can make the dumbest decisions and it'll work out for you. Come on. You can buy what you shouldn't have bought and it'll still work out for you. Are you hearing me? See, when you realize that, there's no more fear in what you do. If you realize that everything that God, what? That all things work together for those that love God and according to his purpose. Is that the Bible? Well, start living like that because you're blessed. Or everything's going to work out. I think there was a word there this morning or someone brought that. It's going to work out. God's got you. So if God's backing you, back yourself. See, if you're cursed, You can do all the research, try and do the wisest, smartest investing, and you'll go broke. Is that true? If you're cursed, you can try and do everything right, and it won't work. Is that cursed? You can try and you can try and you can try and you can try. It won't work. But if you're blessed, it's like working, and you don't know how. That's what you're in for. With blessings, I'm going to bless you. Why? Because you haven't withheld. The biggest asset that any church has is its senior pastors. Let me tell you that right up now. The biggest asset that you have, it's not your building, it's not your team, it's actually your leaders. That's your biggest asset. That's why you need to look after them, bless them, help them, encourage them, be behind them, because that's your biggest asset. True? Yes. And now if you start to share them around the place and globally, blessing, you're not going to miss out. You're not going to be as if it's going to be like they're here, but they're not here. It's a supernatural thing. Are you getting this?
Yes.
And it says here, let me just see if I can. This is the other part of it that I wanted to share with you. See, what happened to Abraham, see, he all of a sudden got this like superpower in that then whatever, because he had this blessing, but then he was able to impart it. In fact, what happened then was that later on, his great-grandsons would actually fight, manipulate, lie, cheat, and steal to get this ability to be blessed and be a blessing. Was that true? That Jacob usurps Esau to get that superpower, that super anointing to not just be blessed, but whatever you put your hands on, whatever you did, whether it was a thing or a person, that person was blessed. That's what I'm talking about. that you're going to have this shift inside of you. It's no longer going to be about, oh, please help me, Jesus. It's going to be, you're going to realize, wow, I can help people. That whoever, just look at your right hand right now, and right now resonates blessing. Whoever, just put that on the person beside you and go, you're blessed. Just release blessing over them. Bless you. And then they're blessed. That's it. Sucked in. Ever heard of these people? Have you ever heard someone say to you, oh, man, it's been like all hell broke loose in my family? Ever had that happen? Ever seen that happen? Ever had someone tell you that? All hell broke loose. Ever heard that saying? Well, I'm going to change something. At Elam, you're going to learn the anointing of releasing heaven. And people are going to say, man, it was like all heaven broke loose. All heaven broke loose. All of a sudden, you know, the kids have straightened up. They're doing their homework. You know, the car doesn't seem to even need servicing. It does, but do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, we've got money in the bank. There's another washing machine's not dancing around the floor. Everything's working. Like, everything is working. Because sometimes we are so used to having something wrong. Do you know what I'm talking about? Rather than actually getting used to God being with you and on top of it, you know what? Things will get difficult. But see, when you know you're blessed, it doesn't really matter. It's just, you know, you're going to walk through this. Like what Susie was saying before, no matter what season you're in, you're going to be fruitful. Winter, fruitful. When it looks like nothing's happening, something's happening. Something's happening even right now. While you're sitting here with what you think is a terrible disaster, God is doing far more than what you can ever know or think or imagine. You know, like when Elijah went to God, man, you can really pull it out of me today. When Elijah thought he was the only prophet left, remember that? When Carmel and all of that, and he gets the sulks, gets depressed, and he sulks in front of God, oh God, I'm the only one left. God says, you know what? Nah. 7,000. Someone knows their Bible. There's 7,000 I've got hidden away. You know what? God is doing 7,000 times more than what you think right now. 7,000. I couldn't think of 7,000 things for God to do right now. But that's how God is going to bless you. Yeah, don't overwhelm me, hey. He's going to multiply you. What am I up to, number four? He's going to multiply you like the sands and the stars. There's going to be great blessing in the earth and in the heavens. Spiritually, things are going to start to increase and multiply for Elam in Jesus' name. They're going to be the things that are with you and the things that are beyond you. So there's not just the people that are within this building or within this community of believers, whoever, you know, calls themselves, I go to Elam, whether they come once a week or once a fortnight or once a month. So whoever you're touching now, but then those that are beyond you, those in Kenya, those in Pakistan, those in Europe, those in South America, those where you haven't, that are beyond, that you will never, ever see, but you know are there. That are beyond your reach here in West Gosford, but they're yours. That's very powerful. I got envious when the Lord started to say this. I go, how come Martin gets all the good stuff all the time? See, those who you can reach and those that are beyond your reach. Let me just read that to you again. See, he's going to multiply the sand, those that you can touch, that you're standing with right now, and those that are with you, but then there are those that are beyond your reach. Are going to multiply. Your reach is to the heavens. See, to Abraham, what? He said, you know what? You're going to have the sand on the seashore, Israel. But then you're going to have the stars of the heaven. So there's Old Covenant believers, Israel, but then there's us, the stars of the heavens, New Covenant, ones that he didn't even understand, well, them. All of them out there. I don't even know who they are. That's us. Israel, they're blessed, aren't they? They're sand. Your stars. God's going to so bless you. You need to just get ready. You need to go all open up a new bank account. You need to get ready to give. You need to get ready to serve. You need to get ready to enlarge. You need to get ready for what God is doing in you. So you're going to possess the gate of the city. This is so funny. Look at where this place is. How many words have you had or have you prayed that you're the gate church of this place? True? I'm seeing lots of nods. Yeah. How many prophetic words have you had in this house about that? I reckon that's a cheap word. That's so easy to get that. I don't mean cheap, like easy. Because you are the gate, aren't you? You're the gate. And I reckon I'm awesome. It's so exciting for me to know that the most prayerful church of all of us is at the gate. Isn't that good to know? And so awesome. You're in the gate. Nothing goes in or nothing goes out without your say-so. Isn't that good? Now look at your influence because of that. Do you realize that? Your influence. You know, there's nothing that comes down that hill without coming having to go past this house. And it's prayer and it's anointing and it's overflow. What's flowing out of here has to flow out onto that highway. That's when it's going to touch people. You must understand that. But I don't think it's just like, he hasn't just given you it's not just this gate, but it's the gates to nations. See, it works this way. Spiritually, it works this way. See, if you have a heart, if you've got a heart for the city, you actually have to have a heart for the region. If you want to get the city, where you are is always less than where you're believing. Or where you're believing is more than where you are. Does that make sense? You got me? So in order to get the city, you've actually got to believe for the region. In order to win the region, you've got to believe for the state. To save the state, you've actually got to believe for the nation. To save the nation, you've actually got to believe for the nations, for the globe. Don't think that you're here for the city. You're here for the nations. Come on. You're here for the nations. You're not just is that what your sign says? Where's your sign? Oh, didn't see it. The desire of all nations, see? See, I'm really good at this. That's what God's called you to. And if you see what let's just go. I want you to look at this verse. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I got such a download for this message. It was amazing. It just flew out of me. Jum, 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 jum. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13, 16, this is Paul speaking. Paul's speaking actually about the measure of his authority. And it says, are you all there? It's pretty awesome. I don't know whether we're telling about the generation that this church is mainly dominated by, but now most churches you go to, you say turn to, it's more like scroll to, but actually hear the sound of paper turning is awesome. Been a long time since I've heard that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, we, however, do not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere that God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. We do not overextend ourselves, although our authority did not exist over you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. In other words, this is what he's saying. You know what? You know what? I know my sphere. Paul's saying, I know the measure. That means metron. Metron is literally like boundary. the measure. It's a specific amount. It's not like it's I know the borders of my influence. Elam, do you know? Do you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do? It's nations. Let me just help you out. You're meant to send people to the nations. Are you hearing me? And you wait and watch the money and the resources and all the stuff happen and the blessing flow into this house, because I'm not saying that you shouldn't love our city or our region, but are you hearing me? God has called you from this base to go there, whatever these flags. I hope you get a big, it looks like the Olympics. And I can see you still got more walls. There must be more flags coming. More people being sent and more things happening. Is that true? Do you actually feel that in your heart? I hope you're kind of getting excited about that. Because when God's actually called that to you, when you realize that God has called me to a thing, see, where God calls, he provides and there's grace for it. See, what do they say? What is that cliche thing? God's will, God's bill. When I'm doing his will, his bill. True? Yeah. And when you get on board with that, it's amazing how God starts to bless you and starts to open up more and more blessing for you. Is this okay? Yeah. Number 7 is it return. So let me just go back up there, and it says, in your seat, all the nations shall be blessed because of you, because what? You obey my voice. So Abraham returned to his young man. So you must understand that it's going to be like a revolving door around here. That it's going to be send, come back. It's going to be, church does this, inhale, exhale. You can't keep exhaling. Who knows, that's not good for you. And you definitely can't keep inhaling. That's just as bad, true? But so many of us just want to inhale. We just want to draw people and draw people and draw people and draw anointing and draw presence and draw resources and draw ministry and draw and inhale and inhale and inhale and inhale, and then we wonder why we faint. When actually we're meant to breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Train, equip, send. Come in and refresh, build up, encourage, send out. Breathe in, resource, equip, build up, send. You must understand that. Especially I feel that on Pastor Martin, Pastor Michelle. Allow them to return. Allow them to return. Allow them to go. See, that Abraham went up the hill to do this thing, but in return back to the young men. And then they went with him to Beersheba, the place of God's will, if you like, place of blessing. Are you hearing me? Breathe in. Guess what? What's happening this week is what? They're returning. They're returning. But not to stay, to guess what? Guess what's going to happen? Then you're going to send them. Some of yours, you know, that who was that lady who came up here? I'm not going to rehab. And I'm not Rahab, not going to rehab. I hope you don't have to go to rehab, whoever you are. And I don't do rehab and I don't do Africa. Where is that lady? There you are back there. I'm really sorry to disappoint you. You're going somewhere, darling. As uncomfortable as that sounds, but you know what? You're just too blessed. Death is way from your family, hey. No death, nothing like that. No more crisis, nothing like that. You were one of the examples that I was looking at going, man, that's going to lift off. You're not going to worry about that interrupting an attack on your family anymore, darling. You're going to live blessed, way beyond that, and it's going to be, you won't be stuck at home thinking about how am I going to keep this crew together. They're fine because God, you got to go. But then you're going to return. Most of you. I hope you all got a passport. Who here will just have a moment of repentance? Who here does not have a passport? You have to repent right now. Get to the post office. Get online and get one. Like, how can you be a church that's called to the nations and not have a passport? That's not faith. Is that true? Come on. And don't believe and don't think because you've got a criminal past or anything like that, oh, they won't let me out. They will let you out. They probably won't let you back in. They let Martin back in. And it's this, they returned and they went together. They went together. See, wherever Martin, Michelle and the teams all go, you go. It's Elam. You got to get the understanding of this, that it's not Martin Duffy Ministries. Man, I reckon he should pay me $10 for this message, I tell you. It's like, can you see that? You need to see this is what we do. This is what we do. We reach nations. We go and we plant seeds of the gospel and churches and church leaders globally. This is what we do. You know, you just, the gate, you open up the gate. You might not necessarily be church planting. I'll actually say that. Might not be that, but you'll open up the gate for church planters. Do you understand? If he's had a revival meeting last two nights, the opportunity for a church planter to step into that and to plant something and to get something up and going now has happened. That's what Paul would do. Paul would go and crack a city open, have meetings, get revival, get people excited and hungry about the God, bring an awesome testimony of the power of Jesus into the place. And man, all he'd need is just, then he'd get a team together and they'd go and do church. True? Come on. And there's nothing, guess who the best people to reach Kenyans are? Kenyans, amen. Not Pommies. Oh, he's Aussie, isn't he? Is that true? Best person to reach Aussies is not Americans. Aussies, come on. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oh, that was okay. That's true, isn't it? Best people to reach, we work with church planting in Indonesia. The best, the most mightiest, most powerful, hey, baby, people to reach Indonesians are Indonesians. Bar none. Awesome. Mainly because they can speak it. True? They get it. But someone had to make a way. Someone had to crack it open. Someone had to unlock the door and let them in. That's what you're called to do. You're at a gate. You know how to do this. Can you hear me? You're at the gate. You now have a position of authority spiritually to unlock this city and to let people go in and out. Say, I hope you let Encounter Life Ministries bless it. Thrive and go up and down the hill in Jesus' name. But now you're going to be called to unlock nations. Come on. In Jesus' name. Is that cool? Turn to the person beside you and say, you needed that. All right. How about we just pray? Now, I'm going to pray, and who knows what's going to happen if I pray, what you're all going to do. I'm almost frightened of saying that in this place. All of a sudden, people start grabbing the microphone off me and wanting to pray. But that'd be good. Can we just, you want to come up, Susie? And we just thought, is that right, Michelle? And we'll, I just want to pray for you that this word really, I really knew I had an assignment for you. I really knew that it was a real prophetic word over your whole ministry from the head down. If you're the newest believer in here, if you're the most backslidden person in here, you're included. That whatever is on Pastor Martin and Michelle is on you. Whatever flows from them is on you. Isn't that true? See, whatever is true about Jesus is true about you. Isn't that wonderful to know?
Yes.
So how about we just pray for you? Amen. Do you want to pray, baby? I'll pray and then you pray. Okay. Father, just be open. Okay? Father, I just thank you for your great blessing, Holy Ghost. I thank you that God, that your word is going to even start to manifest itself now. That blessing, with blessing, you're going to bless them with. That with increase, you're going to increase them. With multiplying, you're going to multiply them. Father, as the sand is on the seashore, the stars above the heavens, the influence is going to be. That, Lord, is going to reach not only who they can reach, but it's going to reach who they can't reach. It's going to be beyond their reach in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that the mindset, the heart of this church expand greatly for influence. But Father, I thank you that you've marked them for influence. God, not only in this city, but also to the nations in Jesus' name. Father, may they have a cry for the nations. May they be upon their heart. Father, may you open them up, God. May nations continue to open up to them. May invitations and open doors and ability to get to places that no one can get to. Father, I pray supernatural favor over the Duffys and mostly over Elam. Father, I pray that Elam, the name Elam, is heard globally in Jesus' name. That, Father, it bring hope to nations, that it would be talked about, that it would be witnessed about, that it would be written about in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.